You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Texans training camp is happening now. Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? How we doing? Good to be with you this morning. Sorry, we're 40 seconds late getting in. Sharky had to get his call to action in on the Captain Mickey show. Shout out to Sharky.
It wasn't 40 seconds. Our sounders and everything started.
Whatever. It was more than one.
It was more than 1 second late.
Yes.
You're very punctual.
Yeah.
I was almost, did I tell you, I was the closest I've been to being late in my career in radio yesterday.
To the show, you mean?
It was like 2 days
ago. It was two days ago.
That's right, because I texted you.
Yeah.
And I was only 20 minutes early. Which is, for me, is terrifyingly late.
Yes.
So I don't know what happened. I had my alarms. I was tired enough that I actually turned off all three of my alarms and then woke up. So I had it set for like 3:50, 4, 4:10, and somehow I woke up at 4:40.
Wow. It's a good thing you woke up.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it was even later than that. That's why I couldn't get it. Yeah, it was like 5 or whatever. The only thing I'm wondering is if there was an update or something that every now and then when Apple does the updates, they screw you over.
Yeah. So you have three alarms?
Yeah, three, which is apparently too scant. So for
you
now,
need more than
go,
that?
I'm
going
to go for three. Six. Yeah.
I have three.
I've never once slept past the first one. Okay, now that I'm thinking about it, that was definitely some kind of update issue or something.
Okay.
I've never slept past that. I set three alarms at least, and I can't remember ever sleeping past the first one other than possibly the other night.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
Three. I go 4 o'clock, 4:17, 4:30.
I think 7 is probably the bare minimum anymore now that I've had
that
single scare. Yeah, from two different phones.
What the hell?
I'm going to get a burner phone just for the
You're
alarm
sleeping
clock
in effect. A lab. What the hell's going on?
You've had to do a sleep apnea test.
Yes, I did.
Speaking of sleeping in a lab.
Yeah.
I've never made it past like 3 hours.
It's the worst night of sleep you're ever going to get, but the information you get out of it is very beneficial.
Is it though?
That you're like, for me, it was. Hey, I was told I might die.
We're going to strap 400 wires and anodes up to you, and then in the morning we'll tell you, you didn't sleep that great. You're like, yeah, I'm aware of that.
No, for me, they told me how many times I stopped breathing while I was sleeping.
Because you were getting strangled by the, you're going to pull yourself, your own personal David Carradine
Dr.
all night
Ben
long.
Salento.
Yeah.
That's funny. So we're in studio today. No practice. The practices for us are out at the stadium are done. We're at the stadium or out at the outdoor training facility are done. We're in the stadium tonight.
Yeah.
So the team is like simulating a game day. So do we need to simulate a game day? Do you and I need to go out to Bud Light Plaza at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and do a fake pregame show?
Oh God, no! I'm still recovering from camp. That was the hardest training camp I've ever been through.
I don't know why
the heat was bothering me. It was worse than when I was a player. I was at least fit and in my 20s.
Yeah.
Now I'm a nearing middle-aged man.
So you're saying camp has been harder for you as a radio host underneath a shade tent?
God, yes.
Than as a player out there in the brutal
heat? I feel I have less job security. Yeah. Well, no, that's not true either, I guess. Yeah, it's just the it's watching. I noticed this the first year I was out of football when I went to a few games in September.
Mm-hmm.
Far harder being a fan sitting in the stands drenched in your own sweat in an outdoor game. In Texas, it was actually we were living in Jacksonville than it is anywhere else. I'd rather now that's different than real work. Like playing, the thing about playing a football game is you get to take a break and go in and drink cool beverages with a fan blowing on you.
Yes,
and you have servants. You have the athletic trainers and the equipment guys who will do whatever you want. Like that's why it's not that bad. Imagine being like a ditch digger. And telling your boss, telling your boss every 12 to 14 shovels, it's time for my break, or could we rotate somebody else in, please?
Right.
Yes.
And
we
where are the people to bring me my Gatorade? Chop, chop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
I know you don't get to walk over to a bench as a ditch digger and sit down and have a... And where are the fans? Yeah. There's supposed to be a fan blowing on me.
Yeah. Wow.
But as a fan, you're stuck up there sitting in the stands in your own filth and sweat.
Yeah. But football sounds really easy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was the easiest job I ever had.
Piece of cake.
It was 100% the easiest job. Somebody told me where to go every day.
Yeah.
I had a plan set out for me. It was pretty good.
Now you're schmucking it out here with three alarms trying to make sure you get up to go do a radio show.
This isn't a hard job.
Sweltering in the heat. Yeah. I mean, this is just a literal sweatshop here.
The 2 weeks that we spend broadcasting outdoors is really the only time all year where I feel like I have any difficult obligations.
I know. Hey, I was flipping burgers yesterday.
That's
you know,
right.
Sometimes people go like, oh, you think your job's hard. You should go flip burgers for a living. Me and Sho did that yesterday with Cal McNair.
Mm-hmm.
We were flipping burgers for the people. And may I say, we had a good time.
Yep.
We had a really good time. A lot of fans out there. Cal was taking a lot of pictures with people out there.
Yep.
Cal and Hannah, that was pretty cool. The smoke coming off the grill was brutal. I went and jumped in the loop afterwards.
Yeah.
Because apparently they were critiquing my cookout skills.
Yeah.
Lopez was out there chit-chatting with Cal while his show was going on, as you know.
And Lopez is he that most annoying of all things in the modern world, which is the barbecue critique?
Yeah, you threw it directly on the flame.
Yeah.
And then
every guy who cooks once a week is an expert on exactly how you're supposed to cook meat and everything.
Right.
There's only one technique. There can only be one way.
Right.
Only one way to cook a burger.
I can't believe you took this burger and threw it directly on a flame. Like, that's what they do on the Burger King commercial.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? But it was fun. We had a good time out there. But yeah, the smoke was, my eyes were like fried afterwards.
I'm going to say this. I think the Texans, this isn't like a huge, hey, this is a sign that everything's going to be awesome or anything. But I've noticed it. There's been something about the organization this year that is subtly, modernized in the right kind of way to where you feel like they're trying to connect with the fans. Like on a more Zoomer level, the way that a lot of organizations, when you see their social media accounts are really good or they do certain things, you're like, oh, okay, these guys kind of get it.
Yeah.
I think the helmets were cool. Like, the helmets at least were universally loved. You know, it doesn't affect their play on the field or anything.
No.
But as far as people used to complain about a lot of things about the Texans organization, even when the Texans were going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the actual team, business model, all of that. So I feel like it's relevant to point out when things like the helmet went well. I didn't even notice this yesterday. Spillane pointed it out that they were playing Verlander's intro music yesterday.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. On a day in
which
Verlander was pitching.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a subtle little, like, I don't know how many people even noticed that, but that's just kind of a cool little nod to the other teams in town.
I feel like that's a real, the hyper-focused and granular sports fan is going to notice that, and that's going to play. It's a small sliver of the fan base, but that small sliver of the fan base is, I would imagine, very passionate, and they're going to hear that. And you know what? That goes to the other thing that they're clearly trying to do, Seth, which is get more, like, kind of Houstonized. You know what I mean? Like, everything's H-Town, and they're...
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
people like those shirts.
They do. They like...
They've been wearing out there. The red shirts with the gothic... The font?
Yes, yes. And the crossover with the other sports. Like, Steven Silas is out of practice the other day, and you mentioned the Verlander theme music.
Yeah.
And I think even Nick coming on our show, and when we asked him about the other sports, like, he clearly goes to Astros games, and he clearly is watching the Rockets, like that.
Let's think about one of Bill O'Brien's biggest public missteps ever. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
The luncheon, yeah.
The Texans kickoff luncheon where with Astros executives in attendance the year after they won the Super Bowl.
Right. They bought a table to this luncheon.
After they won the World Series, Bill O'Brien gets up and says, basically, everybody knows this is a football town.
Right.
Everybody, congratulations to the Astros, but everybody knows it's a football town.
What the hell are you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What is this? And then you juxtapose that with Lovie Smith, who's like taking calls from season ticket holders in the ticket office.
Yeah.
It's just a different feel. And like I said, it doesn't matter on the football field. maybe not directly, but I do think over time that kind of stuff does matter for your organization, and I think it does kind of have a synergistic effect.
It's one of those things when the product on the field finally turns the corner and this is how they're operating as a business, it's going to be a really, really cool place to be.
You know what I guess where I guess the best evidence of it or what you hope is like, okay, you know what? Cal is not an owner who's just going to sit and take over the family business and kind of just let various people who maybe were hired in the last couple of years just do whatever they wanted to do. I think it took a couple of years with a whole lot of other controversy that mucked things up to kind of settle into perhaps what Cal's vision is for the franchise.
Yep.
And it feels a lot better right now than it did the last couple of years.
Well put. Yep, absolutely. All right, we're off and running on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast with you. We're in studio today with you till 8 o'clock. This is the last day that we will be hot tagging it over to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer at 8 a.m. this morning, and then in the loop after that. We're all in studio today, practice at the stadium tonight in the first preseason game Saturday. Seth and I have you for pregame starting at 4 o'clock.
I'll tell you what, the one saving grace of me not sleeping in and being late.
Yeah.
Did you have something else to talk about?
I was just going to tease what's going into the next segment.
Oh, tell
me. Yeah,
okay.
Well, guess who's going to be starting against Jacksonville this weekend in a preseason game? We may get our first look.
Damian Pierce?
At old number four. No, the Texans don't play Jacksonville. The Cleveland Browns play Jacksonville.
I thought maybe they traded for
a very controversial starting announcement yesterday by the Cleveland Browns that we will get to in the next segment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson, if you have been jonesing to see what he looks like playing football, because it's been a while, he will be starting for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow? When do they play? Tomorrow? Against the Jags? Let me see here. Yeah, tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Deshaun Watson is going to start at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns against the Jags.
And barring a decision by the arbitrator.
Yeah, good. Yes, thank you. That's a good thing to point out. And I don't think that's coming down in the next 24 hours.
It's a weird thing about NFL suspensions where much of the time your suspension doesn't start until the regular season. So you play the preseason games, and it's a weird disconnect because this is a guy that, especially in this situation, like, okay, is it you get the feeling, okay, the NFL should try to give him a complete stiff arm for a while until they get here. The weirdest one is when steroid guys, they go, okay, you did steroids in the offseason, you got caught, so you got a physical advantage. We'll let you beat up on people during the preseason.
Right.
But then we'll give you a suspension by the time all the effects have worn off.
Yeah, go to your room. Which, that brings up an interesting wrinkle in all this. First of all, I think, okay, why is this important? Because I know we're going to get the text. Why are you talking about Deshaun? He's starting in a game that doesn't even involve the Texans. Okay, tell me you don't have at least a little bit of curiosity as to what Deshaun Watson looks like playing football after not having played since the end of the 2020 season.
Yeah, that would
be... I'm super curious.
And it actually is relevant, look, because those are our draft picks. We've got those draft picks coming to us. I mean, if there's a Deshaun Watson suspension, the Texans will end up, if it gets a complete year, the Texans will end up using two of those first-round picks they got for Deshaun Watson before Deshaun Watson ever plays a snap.
Isn't that amazing?
For the Browns.
Isn't that incredible?
Right. So that part is relevant. And then I think also Deshaun Watson playing well or not playing well in the preseason might not matter unless the Browns are really trying to figure out, should we trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? We've got $49 million of cap space. The Browns have the most cap space in the league by far the most cap space in the league right now. Jimmy Garoppolo's got a $24 million salary that's fully guaranteed.
No.
If he's playing
week one.
The season
starts, yeah.
But that's on his contract right now. He's a veteran, so if the season starts, then it's guaranteed.
Right.
So would the Browns be willing to say, look, 49ers, nobody's offering you any money for a banged-up quarterback who we're not even sure is healthy yet from his offseason surgery, who's got a $24 million salary, unless he gives us a break or you give him a break, or Garoppolo himself might just be saying, just go ahead and cut me. We'll take that whole salary off your hands. We'll give you a mid-round draft pick, and here we go. But maybe the Browns aren't so sure they want to do that until they figure out, okay, what's it really going to look like when Deshaun Watson comes back?
That's right. So I'm curious what he would look like. It's interesting that they would have him starting in the first preseason game. That almost feels like they're burying their head in the sand a little bit when it comes to the potential for this appeal. If it were a 12-game suspension, would you have Deshaun Watson starting in the preseason?
If I planned on trading for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. Yeah,
because I think if Garoppolo goes in there, I don't like Garoppolo as the guy to be the savior of a franchise, but I do think that as a guy who's been in that system for the last 4 years, then yeah, he can come in and be way better than the other guys there. If his shoulders, so I think then you look at it as, okay, well, we're gonna make a play for Garoppolo. Let's get Deshaun as much actual meaningful full speed action as we can, so that if he does come back in week 13 and we're at a 500 record or what have you, then we can roll from there.
That's interesting. That's an interesting angle to it. I think one of the things we need to point out is the difference between a 12-game suspension, let's say, and a year suspension is pretty significant, not just in terms of the number of games, not just in terms of the fact that Deshaun will have gone almost 1,000 days without starting in a regular season game. A one-year suspension, my understanding, Seth, from some of the research I've done, is that unlike the suspensions you're describing, like, say, with DeAndre Hopkins, or even with Deshaun right now, where he's allowed to play in the preseason and practice with the team, if you get suspended for a year, you go to your room right away. You're done.
Right,
you don't play in the preseason.
You're gone.
You're gone.
You're not talking to the team or anything. The other thing, too, is then
like, you're banished. That's the word that was used.
The other part where it's like a minimal punishment for Deshaun at that point, but it's relevant, it's that his contract gets pushed 1 year into the future.
Correct.
So he would get his $1 million salary next year. He would have to wait one more year until free agency. He would still make at least $45 million this year in cash, which is the third most.
Yeah, he's
in the
gotten
NFL.
That already. Yeah. That's a poor guy. $55 million for not playing any games the last 2 years.
Look, and I don't think this was preconceived or anything, but when we say, wow, it was stupid for him not to settle, financially, I think that's part of why it worked out, weirdly enough, because the Texans, if Deshaun had merely asked for a trade and he didn't have all this going on, I mean, there's a chance the Texans might have just held fast and said, look, we'll work it out. We'll try to figure this out. We're going to take our time. And it might not have gotten to this point.
Yeah.
I stopped trying to make sense of this a long time ago. I just feel like it's an illustration of just how none of us knows anything about how things are going to work out. It's just crazy.
Are you, I mean, I'll admit it. I am oddly kind of excited and intrigued to watch Deshaun Watson play football tomorrow night. You know, it's a curiosity to me.
I wish if it were a regular season game, I'd feel more that way. I am intrigued by the fact that it's Trevor Lawrence versus Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Oh, the Clemson angle.
The pregame, there needs to be the paparazzi. And by the paparazzi, I mean people in the stands with phones. Because I don't trust that all of NFL media is going to have the gonads to really play this up as much as they should. Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson in the pregame or postgame.
Dabbing
just
up.
Meeting on the field.
Hugging
all
each
of
other.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Trevor Lawrence say, You taught me everything I know, except, but I don't know everything you know. Does he try to distance himself from it?
Yeah.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm not even going out on the field.
No.
I'm just going to, I'll be like, where is he? Remember that one NFL Films thing where there was it was one of the head coaches who really didn't like doing the, okay, I'm going to go talk to the other
before
head coach
the game.
Before the game.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, all right, well, where is he? Is he over there? All right, I'm going to do that. Okay, fine.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I got to find that.
I could see Trevor Lawrence doing that.
Oh, that would be the smart thing to do, I think. All right, we are off and running here in the 6 o'clock hour on a Thursday here on Payne and Pendergast. 713-572-4610. We're back in studio this morning. The Astros, they lose last night, but out of a loss to the Rangers comes a sliver of positivity for me. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Astros lose last night. They lose 8-4. Extra innings last night, right, for the Astros?
Things really imploded. Jeez, John.
Well, I went to bed.
Yeah,
I went to bed.
Yeah, it was 10 innings.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Boy, things really imploded in the 10th inning, it looks like, for the Astros. 8-4, they lose last night to the Texas Rangers. They are back at it today. It's a day game today, a little getaway day. It was rough sledding. 5 runs in the 10th inning last night, and the Astros lose 8-4. But Seth, in a 162-game season, I can bargain like this with the baseball gods. You know what? They lose to the Rangers tonight, but Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker both hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Would I sacrifice a game to come out feeling a little bit better about two of the four most important hitters in the Astros lineup? And for that, I would say yes.
Yes, I feel good about that. Tucker's been working on his swing this entire time. That's why, usually I try to soothe myself with the advanced stats, the expected stats and whatnot. There wasn't that level of soothing. This wasn't like during sometimes when Tucker's just got really bad luck and he's hitting the ball really well and hard. You could tell something's been off, and Tucker acknowledged it himself.
Yep.
So hopefully that speaks to the end of this. Yordan was in what he referred to as a mini slump. And as he yanked them back into contention in this game, maybe he pulled himself out of that mini slump.
He's the guy I worry about the least when it comes to slump. He's just too good. He's just Yordan will hit. Tucker, I was worrying about a little bit just because he was making no good contact for a while.
You know what Yordan did? Yordan on Tuesday. No, on Wednesday. Tuesday. What's today? Thursday?
Today's Tuesday.
Tuesday he had a baseball camp. I think it was out at Stafford.
Really? Out
at Katy or somewhere west of where we are right now. Because I remember I was looking at the Chronicle in the afternoon, and I started reading this article, I think it was by Brian T. Smith, about Yordan's baseball camp.
You sure it wasn't Monday on their off day?
I am 100% positive, because that's the story I'm telling you right now.
That
I thought, I must be reading this, or I'm reading it at the wrong time. It's nope, he's got to play this afternoon against the Rangers, and he's...
Is that concerning?
I was walking as I was reading this, And it was hot out.
Soupy as hell.
So I'm
reading
this article, which must have been written like an hour earlier, you know, as Jordan was finishing up this thing. And I thought that it's awesome that Jordan is doing this. Jordan was like emotional talking about it because he said in Cuba he never got to really work with kids like that or anything. So he was really emotional getting out there and helping those kids. And there's a part of me that's, you know, selfish sports fan. I was like, well, screw them kids, Jordan. It's hot out there.
Dude. Have you looked at the standings? You're tied with the Yankees right now.
It's really, really hot.
My God.
Get into air-conditioned Minute Maid Park, which last night had a hard time with the elements. You know it's raining hard when it's raining inside Minute Maid Park, which it was at one point during.
Yeah.
So it was
raining inside the front patio at Lizards last night as well.
Oh, was it
I was
really
sitting on it, yes, watching the Astros game. Yeah, yeah. It was raining inside at a lot of places yesterday. It was rough.
I thought there was going to be a tornado. And then people up north were saying that. People west were saying that. It was a hell of a system that moved through.
Yeah, we were sitting out on the front porch there, and as you know, it's right in the same area here as the station. It's not far from here. We heard a gunshot at one point during the afternoon. Yeah, it was definitely a gunshot.
Like, are you sure it wasn't a backfiring car? I said that's
the first thing I said to the people sitting near me. I said that was not a muffler right there.
You don't hear cars backfire much anymore.
No, it feels like something like back in the days of the Edsel where you're winding up your car.
I was walking with my child once at night, and we were going past this, like, this is a little section where there was some, like, there's some old storage, like cheap storage. And, you know, I was going for a walk trying to wind the kid down at like 9 p.m. at night. And just like, out of nowhere, we hear like what I'm 100% sure was two gunshots, you know, in the middle of Houston at like 9:30 p.m., 9 p.m. at night, and there's an abandoned storage place. And it was all I could do to like not show alarm to my child while still trying to get out as fast as possible.
Did she know it was a gunshot?
She started asking a bunch of questions like kids do, how old was she at the time?
Oh, okay.
So, but it was like, you know, you don't want to call attention.
Right.
Or like, you know, so you're trying to, I was like, hey, let's walk fast for a little bit. And why don't you shut up? You know, like, that kind of thing. And hey, you know what?
What say we hide in these bushes over here?
No, basically, I was like, hey, you know, we've never gone back. We've never gone this way before. And we crawled through a fence and got over to another street. I was like, what's the fastest way to me to get out of like the line of sight of where somebody might have just gotten murdered and I'm a witness, you know?
Hey, let's play hide and seek.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I play hide and seek at school. We don't both hide together. One of us hides and one of us seeks. What are we doing here, Dad?
The other time that was like that in my life was when we were out in the water on a very calm day.
Yeah.
And we were looking towards the shore. We were in the ocean. And we were looking towards the shore. And I could see all these people staring out at the ocean. And then I started seeing all these people like wave to us and everything, and I waved back. I was like, "That's right, I'm Seth Payne here in the flesh. That's all right, you know, waving like and muttering under my breath, damn paparazzi."
Right.
Yeah. And then I looked to my right, and yep, there's a fin moving through the water.
Oh my God.
So like, but the shark was between us and the shore, but I was out with my longboard. And I was trying to get them to get up on the board and everything. So I put the kid up on the board, and I just, like, very slowly and calmly as possible tried not to, like, show how terrified I am. But again, they're asking questions the whole damn time.
Oh, my God.
Won't shut up about, like, why are we going in? We're having fun. You just shut up. I'm being calm here.
Right, right. And you probably, at some point before that, encouraged your kid to be, like, curious about things. You know what? Have a healthy curiosity about life.
Yeah, all those stats about...
There's no such thing as a dumb question.
All those stats about how shark attacks are less common than airplane crashes and everything, they don't hold up when you're face-to-face with a dorsal
fin. Not in
the
middle of the ocean. No. Yeah, that's great. That is great.
That's like bringing up a stat about the rarity of airline crashes as your plane is going down.
Right.
Don't worry. These are relatively rare.
All good. Yeah. So the Astros, fortunately, they are still tied with the Yankees. The Yankees lost last night to the Seattle. Seth, I had to move the screen because Brandon Scott peeked behind the curtain in the middle of while Seth was talking. I moved my computer screen for no reason. Yeah,
okay.
Brandon Scott texted me and said, hey, can you move the screen? The cameras are running in the studio right now. And I don't blame him because he wants to get my good side on any video that we're running right now in studio.
Get my good set. I'd have to take my pants down.
I don't think there's a
hey,
camera.
That's a butt joke. Get your minds out of the gutters,
yeah,
you weirdos.
Yeah. Just because they installed a camera down there, it's no big deal. So the Yankees lost last night, too, and Nicholas Turturro lost his mind. Here is the quintessential Yankee fan.
The rotund brother of the far superior actor, John
Are they Turturro. Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, as far as we know.
Let me fact check myself.
Here is Nick Turturro, a famous actor and famous Yankee fan, losing his mind.
I have f***ing had it. I've had it with this f***ing Boone. I've had it with this micromanaging bullshit. What the f***, man? It's a one-run game. It's not a spring training game. It's not a throwaway game. It's a f***ing rubber game. And then you got it down to one run, and then I got to see Abreu again? I got to see this guy again? He's a mop-up guy. He's a f***ing mop-up guy. Come on, man. Don't you f***ing get it? Play with a little urgency, man. This was a game we needed. A game we should have had. You don't know how to f***ing manage, bro.
All right. For those who don't know, the Yankees were up 3-1 in the seventh, and the Mariners scored three runs.
It's been a rough couple days for Yankees fans. They had extreme base running errors two nights ago. So Yankees fans are beside themselves with just what's been an abysmal stretch, really, since the Astros broke them.
Yeah.
They just have not been the same team that was so dominant in the first half of the season.
Yep.
Which, frankly, look, a lot of teams that don't thrive in things like the playoffs also have a hard time sustaining excellence during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
A team like the, 2017 Astros, 2019 Astros, 2021 Astros.
Right,
they can either start off slow and then pick it up and get better throughout, or they can maintain a certain level of excellence. The Yankees have not figured that out, how to do that in the last 20 years.
No, they have not. No, both teams.
That should be fair. Like 15 or so. Yeah.
Okay. 2009. Yeah, thereabouts. 71-41. They're both tied in the standings right now. I know you saw this. Carlos Correa.
Yes.
I did this little gimmick yesterday. I'm like, hey, Seth, did you see this? And Seth felt like saying, yeah, no, jackass, I put it in the rundown.
Every time I put something in, you bring it up as, hey, did you see this, Seth?
I'm just trying to be organic radio guy.
I know.
That got you chippy yesterday. I felt like that flipped a switch on you yesterday.
And then I went, poor John McClane took the brunt. John McClane was he got all uppity because I wanted to make fun of 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't even actually want to make fun of 12-year-olds. He admonished us for picking on 12-year-olds when we weren't even picking on 12-year-olds.
No.
So I started picking on 12-year-olds.
Right. This is where it's evident that John has never had a 12-year-old before.
Oh, you know what I mean? My God.
Yeah.
You know what he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy without parents criticizing
he's
parents.
He's the cool uncle who thinks, like, wonders, like, why do you hate your kids so much? I think they're awesome.
Dude, my brother was, like, the quintessential, like, you can't let that kid run your life, man. You know, you got to live your life. You can't just be all of a sudden changed. Now that he's got kids, everybody quiet. Shh. What's that? Are they awake? Okay, everybody shut up. You got to go now. I know. It's 4 p.m. You got to go. Yeah.
Was he annoying when he did that back in the day? Like, was that advice he was giving you when he had no kids? Like,
yeah. No, that was exactly. It was when he had no kids, he was giving us the advice.
Did you snap back at him?
No, it's just he's the older brother.
Okay.
He's like, the unaware older brother that's just always
just let it go.
The oldest sibling that doesn't quite see it from other people's perspectives. Right. Yeah, he's just like, he's going to see the world the way he's going to see it, and that's it.
So I know that you saw, back to what we were talking about, I know that you saw this because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa got booed viciously last night.
The Dodgers, one thing I noticed from social media was that Dodgers fans were incredibly proud of themselves for being unable to chant cheater in unison. The most arrhythmic, spasmodic attempts at chanting cheater that I've ever
seen. In Hollywood?
Yeah, in Hollywood.
That's why
they're all failed actors out there.
There's only very few successful actors. That's true.
There's all these like singer-dancer actors.
No, you're right. There's like 20 rhythmic people.
Cheater! Cheater! The morons.
Cheater!
Let's do the a floss. Is this right? My agent's watching. Yeah.
Here's what it sounded like on the Dodgers broadcast last night.
You know, in some stadiums they have the meter on the decibel level. We might have to go there here at Dodger Stadium.
Speaking of Correa, here he comes again.
Well, there were some rumors out there that the Dodgers were interested in bringing in Carlos Correa. you couldn't do it. How are you going to bring him into the locker room, introduce him to his new teammates? How are you going to bring him into the city and introduce him?
Okay.
So the Dodgers won 8-5 last night. He struck out at least once in the seventh. Because I saw a lot of videos of that. Him getting booed, luckily.
Sure. Dodger fans were very courteous when that happened.
I think, okay, who are you? That whole, how are you going to bring him into the locker room stuff, I that's so overblown. It's just so ridiculously overblown. Look, the Yankees, I at least just respect the Yankees fans for openly being willing to be hypocrites, right, and entertain, Correa. At one point, they started getting cocky about how they were convinced they were going to land Correa. Some didn't, just flat out didn't want him. But Dodgers fans just can't let it go. They just really can't. I guess because they saw him in the actual world.
Well, I think too that the fact that the Dodger or the, I'm sorry that the Yankees and the Astros, since the cheating scandal, being better than everybody else scandal, as we like to call it, that since 2020, we've actually played the Yankees, a bunch of times, whereas we see them. They're in the American League. We're battling in the standings right now. Dodger fans don't get a chance to do that in person very often.
Well, right, but how are you going to bring Correa into the clubhouse?
Although they do drive down to Anaheim to go boo him sometimes, right. Yeah.
So how are you going to bring Correa into the clubhouse and introduce him to Cody Bellinger with his his 212 batting average?
Exactly.
How do you expect Cody Bellinger to stand by and let a far superior baseball player on the team?
I would pay to watch that first conversation between Bellinger and Correa if he ever signed with the Dodgers.
Bellinger would be. He would back down that punk reliever did.
Yes, yeah. I want to see that so we can make fun of it.
Bygones be bygones. Boys. It does appear that I took quite the downturn after they started cracking down on things.
You got Bellinger's numbers open up on your computer over there?
He's hitting 212.
What's his OPS?
Excuse me if I can't blurt this out without spraining my tongue because these numbers are so gaudy.
Right.
His OPS is a blistering 674. Martin Maldonado might be better offensively right
Looking
now.
Looking it up right now. Yeah. But the first person I thought, I feel so bad for Maldonado. Anytime somebody's slumping around baseball, all of a sudden, Martin Maldonado's become the new Mario Mendoza. And it's really unfair because he does have a little bit of pop in his bat.
Yeah, but Mendoza wasn't,
No, Mendoza wasn't
wasn't a catcher.
Wasn't a catcher.
In this modern day and age.
Yeah,
where
I know. I just feel like we always end up comparing bad hitters to Maldi. Maldi's 601 right now in the OPS.
So last year, by the way,
he's cracked the 600 mark.
It was, what is he? 600?
601.
So he and Bellinger are converging. At some point, they might be the same guy.
Because Bellinger, yeah.
Maldonado be as good in the outfield as Cody Bellinger.
Dude, I'd be here to watch that. Maldi running around in the outfield. Bellinger was an MVP.
I've seen Maldonado in the outfield more than Mancini.
Dude. I'm really anxious to see how Dusty plays all this when he's got all the cards back in the deck, especially if Brantley comes back.
Yeah, the biggest thing with Mancini is that I don't want to stress about something that is likely either maybe injury related or just new guy getting. For all I know, the Astros have stats on when guys change teams, and if they're overused early on, that they end up getting injured more often or what have you, just with the changes and all that. So I'm you know what actually made me think that was when Farrell Brown was on with In the Loop
the other
day, because Farrell Brown had a rough practice, or some people had pointed some things out the day before. He's on with In the Loop the next day. And he wasn't offering it up as an excuse or anything for the day before. He was just talking about how his son had been in the hospital having surgery that evening, the evening after what would have been the bad practice.
Yep.
It was with apparently probably something that might have been going on during the day. So, with Dusty Baker having COVID and managing the team from afar, I'm guessing he's aware that Mancini has done pretty well when he's been out there.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing any of the other curious things that Dusty has done, but I think that for right now, I'm not going to freak out about Mancini.
While Dusty's away from the team with COVID, I feel like he's like a fantasy owner. I got to put my lineup in.
Yeah.
The game's going to start. I got to get my lineup in. I forgot to put in my lineup.
You're waking him up to put up the lineup.
I'm still starting Urquidy from the day before. He pitched already.
Wait, I tell you what would be harder? Steve Kerr managing from his bed or Dusty Baker managing from his bed?
Oh, I think Dusty.
It's harder as a baseball manager.
More difficult to actually execute, or more difficult to be like sitting there watching? Because the spot is making
difficult
a lot
to execute.
Yeah, because is Dusty making the decisions? Like, is he calling into the clubhouse and saying, "Hey, do this"?
He's doing the lineups.
He's doing the lineup. Yeah. So I think it just from purely emotionally, it'd be much harder in baseball because there's way more chess moves.
Basketball. So to sit there and watch,
you're rolling the ball out.
Yeah, well, plus, and the Warriors were just
they destroy everybody.
They turned Luke Walton into the next.
Yes!
Luke Walton went from never having been talked about as a head coach to like, oh, wow, look at this. Luke Walton is a rising young star.
He went 39-4 as the head coach, and he's gotten
Luke
hired.
Did?
Yes! 39-4. Look it up. He went 39-4.
It was really good.
The ball out in the NBA. Dusty's got to be like holding in a sneeze.
Well, Kerr was a good example.
Dusty's like, I've got three questionable moves that I want to make right now.
You know what? This was a good example. And I don't mean this is an insult to Barry Switzer, because Barry Switzer was already established as a very good coach, obviously.
Sure.
But Jimmy Johnson established such a strong culture and had such talent on that team that, it just kind of kept rolling for another year after he's gone. Kerr has done that between the talent and the culture they established.
Yeah.
You could have put a ham sandwich out there.
Absolutely.
And they would have been fine.
A ham sandwich named Luke Walton. Join Clint Sterner in the show at Big City Wings in Cinco Ranch. Miller Lite Football Friday. That's tomorrow, 2 to 6. Hang out, have some wings, cold drinks, and get ready for the preseason opener with all of us here at Sports Radio 610 on a Miller Lite Football Friday. That's right. One team is handling their second-year quarterback so questionably, it makes me wonder, how well are the Texans setting up Davis Mills for success in year two? We'll tell you who that quarterback is, and we'll talk Mills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.